Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates begin a three-game series tonight at PNC Park against the St. Louis Cardinals at 7:05. Rolandy Contreras on the mound for the Bucks. Pirates at 28-27 overall, second in the NL Central. Cardinals 25-32 and fourth in the division. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Ron, whose fault is this? Now I'm angry. Very angry.
We don't know how to
guess it's my fault.
We don't know how to get a hold of Kevin Allen.
I got a confirmation. He said yesterday. Let me calm down here. He said yesterday. I'm not available today, but tomorrow if that helps. I said it does. How about noon tomorrow? He said, perfect. Then before the show today, I said, I need a number. And I never heard back from him. I guess it's my fault. It's my fault on two levels. One, I've known the guy for 30 years almost.
And don't have a number?
And I've never recorded his number. Every time I talk to him, I say, what's the best number? And
he always says, same number.
I have a number for Kevin Allen. I just found it in my email. Come on in here, Austin. This is a big moment, and I'm happy. Ron, look at this. We have a number for Kevin Allen. After searching through the archives, there it is, Austin. Austin Powers. You got that number right there, Ron? This is very exciting.
It is exciting.
Did you see the number that I mentioned on Hunter Green in the meantime?
You did not. You just mentioned he's among great all-timers.
For the Reds. As Austin. I think, are you panicking, Austin?
I am not.
He's not. He seems very calm, cool, and collected, almost to the Steiny level, which is
disturbing. We don't want him that calm and cool.
Yeah. You want somebody to care about the games they're playing in and get nervous because that means they do care.
That means they care. If you don't have butterflies, you're not going to do a good job.
I'm starting to get concerned about Austin Powers here.
Why is that? Bill Steinbach just has the best voice that I've ever heard in all of radio.
That's the most. Did you hear that, Ron?
Well, maybe not
Austin
the
came in
maybe
hot
not the
here.
Best.
That's a take. That's
well,
a hot
Steiny comparison that really
is,
riled
that
him.
That is
up.
A hot take.
We need you to call Kevin Allen, Austin.
Doing that right now.
We're panicking. we're panicking here. Hunter Green, the fourth fastest pitcher to reach 250 strikeouts since the mound was moved to its current distance in 1893. Distance.
Distance, not height.
1893?
Wow.
You want to know the others? The only ones to do it faster?
Nolan.
You won't guess them. I'm surprised at this.
Okay, not Nolan Ryan, not
Spencer Strider.
The Atlanta kid, right?
Corbin Burns, Milwaukee.
That's Milwaukee. I guess the strikeouts just that much more prevalent in this era. I know they're up, but I mean, how about J.R. Richard? Guys like that.
Kerry Wood's the other one.
Kerry Wood, yeah.
Kerry Wood, remember him bursting on the scene?
20-some strikeouts in one game?
Yeah. All right, Ron, we do have Kevin Allen.
Great.
After lots of consternation, me losing Kevin's number. Kevin, I just mentioned that I've known you for 30 years and have never actually recorded your number, which seems problematic, and I hope you don't take offense to that.
I do not, not at all. I'm sure I've done the same for people, so.
Kevin Allen, one of the finest hockey writers in America, has been for a long time. We've obviously been talking about Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
What do you think of this hire? Grand slam, like a lot of people think, or something less than that, like I think both of us think.
Yeah, we're not overwhelmed, Kevin.
Yeah, I am. You know, I've gotten to know him a little bit, and, you know, I think you know, what I like about him is that I think he has an appreciation of where this game has been and the evolution of the game in terms of how to manage it. But he's very modern in his approach. And I think he's perfect for the Penguins because he's been doing what they're going to need him to do now. He's been doing for the last few years. You know, the Maple Leafs are a good team with a lot of talent, and he's had to work around the edges and fiddle with the salary cap and try to get them closer to contention. Now, it hasn't worked out, but we all know that in the NHL, it's often circumstances that dictate kind of what happens in the postseason. But I don't think the Maple Leafs haven't won a cup because he's made mistakes. It's just they're in a tough division. You know, Tampa Bay's been in that division this year. Boston, you know, was hot for a while. Nobody counted on the Panthers. I think he knows what he's doing, and I think he miscalculated in Toronto, which is why he lost his job. But I think he's kind of what they need in Pittsburgh now. I mean, you know, they've committed to three, you know, older players. You know, they're not suddenly going to change directions. You know, they got to try to win with these guys, and I think he does that, and I think he'll be successful at it.
Kevin, he's clearly the guy in charge here. Was he in Toronto? Did Shanahan make the decision to give Tavares that big contract, or was that, was that a Dubas contract? He's going to be in charge here.
Yeah, he will, and that will be a bit of a difference for him. You know, part of the issue in Toronto, and I've had this confirmed by not by, you know, the two parties involved, but by people who knew what was going on there. And that, you know, there was friction between Dubas, who wanted to do certain things and felt that he was blocked by Shanahan. And he didn't like, and really this speaks to what he didn't like, speaks to what's been going on with the three-headed monster that we now have in terms of there's an ownership and then there's this extra layer with the director of hockey operations or president, whatever you want to call it. And he didn't like that he couldn't go right to ownership because he felt that there were times I think, where, you know, sometimes deals can happen pretty quickly and they can fall apart if you don't act at the right time. And I think he felt that it took too long for him to make his case to Shanahan and then Shanahan to make, you know, his case, you know, above. So I think he likes this new direction where, you know, he's kind of wired in and he can make decisions more quicker.
One thing I find problematic from his Leafs tenure, Kevin, is that he never really seemed to get the goaltending just right. Jack Campbell had a nice little run, but Peter Mrazek was a disaster that he had to give up a first-round pick to get rid of. And then Matt Murray? I mean, that's problematic.
I think you're right on that. I mean, I think that's been the one area where he has not excelled. And just for the reasons you mentioned, I mean, I think, you know, certainly everybody who followed the Senators and the Penguins or knew of Murray's history knew that wasn't the right move. And I remember going on radio shows and talking about, you know, for a team that's that close, you got to do better than that. But, you know, again, if I look at it realistically, what were his options, you know, last summer? Like, it's the same ones that Pittsburgh's facing this year where, you know, it's pretty thin out there. Now, it's gotten better because Hellebuck is going to enter into the mix a little bit. But, you know, it's not like he's got five or six goalies to choose from. And, you know, if they've decided that Jari is not the answer, and he certainly wasn't last year, you know, that's going to be his challenge. And it's the same one he faced in Toronto. And as you said, and I think that's accurate, you know, he didn't hit it out of the park with his goaltending selections.
Well, what do you do with Jari, Kevin? I mean, I've been a big Jari fan all along, but he just lets me down in big moments. Either gets hurt, which I'm not going to blame him for getting hurt because injuries happen, or big games, he'll let you down. Like the last game against Chicago, Malkin ties it up, and then he gives up two quick ones right in a row. He just lets me down in bad moments, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And it looked like they had sort of turned the corner. He was going to be the guy, and it just didn't happen last year. And when your goaltending's not right, nothing's right. And, you know, that's what I kind of felt that was the problem last season, because everybody knows, like, you know, players always say the same lie. It's like we play the same no matter who's in that. But that's just not true. You know, if your goalie's struggling, you know, you tend to be more conservative. You're not the same aggressive attack you don't have and all that. And, you know, for that reason, you got to feel good about what's going on. And, you know, just think back to when Dominic Hasek was in Buffalo, how the Sabres used to play when Hasek was in net. Like, they had license to kill. You know, they could go up, they could down, you know, they could, leave their man behind in the name of getting a 3-on-2 break, because they knew that Hasek back that, well, you know, I didn't think, certainly the Penguins don't have that luxury. At least they didn't last season. So I think that's, you know, that's got to be the priority. They've got to figure out the goaltending first. And it's tricky now because, you know, like Jari still has to be in the mix just because it's a thin group out there. You've got to, figure out whether you've got any options. Could you work something out with Hellebuck? I mean, I think Hellebuck is the guy that everybody is thinking could be a difference maker. Mm-hmm. But the problem is there are going to be several teams that are going to be interested in him, and it's going to cost you. I mean, you got to take people off your roster, and, you know, do the Penguins really have the assets, A, that they can afford to give up, or even the assets that would be attractive to Winnipeg? So, you know, that's got to be priority one for Dubas, is to figure out the goaltending.
How about John Gibson? Would you look at him as a desirable trade commodity?
For sure. I would, for sure. But I do not have the sense that, A, he wants to leave and that Pat Verbeek wants to trade him. Now, things could change, but, you know, he's had opportunities before. I mean, you would have thought by now, and when they were last year, when it looked like they were in sort of tank mode, there was no better time to move him. But I think Gibson likes it out there.
Kevin, it was interesting. Dubas said yesterday he's not worried about Mike Sullivan. He can coach forever. He's a great coach. How do you see that dynamic working out? And, you know, we tend to believe that Sullivan is very much a Jarry guy, called him a top-tier goalie after the season. How much say should Sullivan have, and how much do you think he will have?
Well, I think he'll have a little bit of say, but I think Dubas, you know, I think he's going to feel that role now. You know, like you just mentioned, this is the more autonomy than he's ever had. And I think he'll utilize that. Like, I don't think he's, you know, going to let Sullivan tell him what he's going to do, because he fought, you know, and that it, and so you could argue that it cost him, you know, his role in Toronto. But, you know, he fought for that autonomy. So I think he'll use it. So I mean, you're going to listen to Mike Sullivan, and you should, because he's been around, he knows all the players and everything else. So you should listen to him. But, you know, I think Dubas will make his own decision about Jarry. But, you know, he has to be considered an option, just like I said, just because I don't think the market is all that strong for goalies.
Kevin Allen, you can find him on Twitter at by Kevin Allen, national columnist for Hockey Buzz and Red Wings beat writer for Detroit Hockey Now. Probably also know him from being at USA Today for over three decades. So tell me this, Kev, your gut feel. Sidney Crosby is signed for two more years at $8.7 million. He could be an unrestricted free agent in 2025. We all expect him to play for several more years. Do you think, even if the Penguins go into a rebuild, that Sidney Crosby will finish his career as a Penguin, that he will choose that even over going to chase a cup somewhere if things fall apart here?
Well, I think right now, if you ask him that and he was being honest, I think he would say he's going to stay here. But things do change. And, you know, as we get closer, we'll get a better feel for that. But right now, I feel he's going to retire as a Penguin. I mean, it just seems like with his history there and the fact that he started living in the Lemieux house, and, you know, I just think he's going to want to retire as a Penguin. But I do think when you get to that point, it's a little bit different. When the reality of it, and especially, as you pointed out, he could still be playing at a high level, and, you know, he's going to think, well, do I want to play at a high level with the team that, you know, is trying to get the first round pick or the first overall pick, or do I want to go and be part of a, you know, a winning team? I mean, this is a guy that at one point, you know, made a bunch of calls and said, hey, why don't we go over to Europe and win a world championship? So he's a pretty competitive guy. So as much as I believe that if you really ask him to be sincere about it, he'd say, I'm going to retire as a Penguin. I think it could change when we get closer to that.
Pierre LeBrun recently said, and I'm paraphrasing, he looks at the Penguins as a bubble team for two more years that could then fall off a cliff. Do you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's the way they've...
Then let me jump in, Kevin, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Why take this job if you're Kyle Dubas and that's the case? You have the stomach for a complete rebuild?
Well, but, you know... Let's see what happens over these next couple of years. Like, you know, he's got to make moves for the now. But, you know, when I said he was a modern guy, like, you know, there's certain things that, you know, I think he's mindful of the draft. And I think he's mindful of squirreling away a couple of prospects here and there. I mean, he's got a little Hextall in him in terms of the draft, and I think he'll be aware of that. He'll be more aggressive than Hextall was in terms of the now. I mean, he's proven that. You know, he's been aggressive at the trade deadline. But I do think, you know, he does have a sense of you know, trying to do it all, which is what I think you got to try to do now in the NHL. You got to, you know, keep, you know, a stack of good prospects, you know, in the background, because you know that time is coming when you're going to fall off. But, you know, if they're not, like, if they're out of it, you know, in year two, you know, do you convince, you know, Letang and Malkin to go elsewhere and, you know, get some you know, quick assets and, you know, see what happens. And, you know, the one thing that is important in thinking about the time when is the time when they're not going to be all that good. The Pittsburgh market is a place the players like to go to. You know, there's a tradition there. And it's almost, in my mind, the original six-esque in terms of players like to go to Pittsburgh. They like living in Pittsburgh. They hear good things about it. And, you know, the fan base is strong. So I think even when they go bad, they're going to be able to get free agents.
Kevin, you know you made some people wreck when you said that he has a little bit of Hextall in him. You know that's not an endorsement in this town.
No,
right?
No, but you know what I meant by
that. I do know what you mean by
that. Yeah, he thinks about the draft. Like, he's not a guy that's totally all in now. Like, even when he's making moves, it's all about now. He's going to be thinking about, you know, well, who do I have coming up in 1 or 2 or 3 years? Like, he's going to be mindful of that. That's, you know, he's the all-encompassing general manager. The problem with Hextall was he thought, you know, he wanted to think about the draft and, you know, not, and then not go after the now.
Is it we've debated this all the time. Can you do both? Can you try to win now and yet 2 years from now avoid a total breakdown? I don't know that it's possible, Kevin.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's fair. It's never really been proven, but, you know, I do think because we've now have some years under the salary cap that, you know, guys have made inroads. Like, you do see some teams that, you know, have, you know, spend as much time thinking about trying to win or trying to build their farm team as they do winning. And you have guys now that, you know, say things like, you know, part of winning is, you know, is keep feeding the monster. You know, you got to have guys coming up. And some guys believe you do it with, you know, free agents, you know, the guys that everyone else missed on in terms of, you know, young players. And we saw the Penguins do that, you know, for a couple of years where they had, you know, guys that they were getting out of college and stuff. Well, Dubas is one of those guys where, you know, he'll come up with, you know, a guy that maybe was overlooked in Europe and all that. He's a real smart hockey guy.
Well, he's got his work cut out for him. There's some horrendous contracts here. May I interest you in a gently used Mikhail Granlund, Kevin? 2 years and $10 million. What do you do to get rid of a guy like that? Do you buy him out?
I know. I mean, you know, he's on everybody's buyout list. But that, you know, 3 years of eating $1.8 million on a team that's going to be tight against the cap because they're carrying, you know, three superstars. That's tough. That really is. Like, it doesn't seem like much, but, you know, 1.8 is still tough. So,
and he also has Jeff Carter again for another year.
Yeah, that's another one too. And I think that's the one that's really.
Do you think Carter would go back? I think he'll only go to one place, L.A., because I heard he loves living there. Do you think that if the Penguins picked up most of his salary and threw in some kind of draft pick, that the Kings would take him back and that he would want to go?
I would say maybe on that. You know, the Kings are in contention mode in their mind too. So, you know, they're not of a mind to think that, you know, we're going to, you know, be nice guys and take back someone to, you know, who, you know, we like as a person and want to bring back. I mean, I think they're really just interested, and they, you know, they've got their own issue of trying to figure out. They've got a goalie sitting in the minors that you're paying $5 million to, and they've got to improve their goaltending on the current roster. So, you know, they're not looking to take any level of salary at this point.
All right, Kevin, before we let you go, it's going to be probably 114 in Vegas coming up, and it's probably going to be over 100 in Fort Lauderdale. Perfect conditions for the Stanley Cup Final. Who do you like?
I like the Panthers. I've had a formula for this postseason. I've been picking the team that's playing the best hockey, because sometimes that doesn't work out. But mostly in this postseason, like, the Vegas has been the best team in each of their series, and Florida has been the best team in the East, you know, all the way through. And Tkachuk's just, you know, you can't even describe the mission he's on. Like, he's got 40, he's been involved in 42% of their goals. Like, I mean, that's Lemieux-like, you know. He's just been a beast on the ice. So I like Florida. I'm going with Florida.
Now, they haven't played in like a month and a half. Is that going to be a problem maybe in the first game until they get their legs back?
The first game it's going to be. I mean, we've all watched enough hockey to know that, you know, there's rust on you and you're just sluggish. But, you know, once they get hit a few times and, you know, it's like a prize fight, they'll snap into it. And the one thing that I don't know that they even understood what they were getting in Kachuk is he is just really a natural leader. Like, he said, come on, boys, you know, and he'll have them fired up and ready to go. And that's why I give Barkov some credit as well, because, you know, he's the captain of the team, but he recognizes the natural leadership in Kachuk, and he hasn't been bothered by that. So. That's why I like Panthers. I just think they have so many different elements. But I think Kachuk has made such an impact on that team.
Kevin, we appreciate the time. Great stuff, as always. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, man.
All right. Happy to chat with you guys.
That's Kevin Allen. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly.
Another Dubas supporter, right?
He is one, for sure. Although he acknowledges that he got the quarterback wrong in Toronto, namely the goalie. Tenor.
Joe, I see you playing with a golf ball over there. Is that your starter?
That's my starter for tomorrow morning, 6:05 a.m. with Zeiss.
And you're hopefully tomorrow's Saturday. That's right. You got to play better than you did today, though, right?
I hope so, or I'm not going to be invited to play anywhere anymore. Jason Mackey up next. Pirates with a very, very interesting series coming up. Are we going to see some of these young guys soon? And if so, who? Henry Davis, Andy Rodriguez, Nick Gonzalez, Quinn Priester. Is there anybody down there at Altoona or Indy who can give this team a jolt as it moves forward? And Andrew McCutchen heading in, homing in on 2,000 hits. All Pirate stuff. With Mackey next, it's 12:26. Good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates begin a three-game series tonight against the Cardinals, 7:05 at PNC Park, with Ronzi Contreras on the mound for the Bucks. And the Pirates, 28-27 overall, second place in the NL Central, on a two-game winning streak after winning their final series in May and first series in May, now taking on the Cardinals. With Jack Flaherty, the opposing mound opponent for Ronzi Contreras. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Welcome back to the Cook, Joe, and Austin show. Our friend Austin making his debut on Cook and Joe. I literally had never met him, or at least remembered meeting him, until he walked in a minute before the show, Ron. You thought he was named Adam.
And he's 22 years old. I got socks older than 22. I can tell you that.
He's a hell of a man, isn't he? Very likable guy.
Yeah.
Can we admit that?
Likable more than so than Folesy, right?
Yeah. I think more than any of the producers. They all have quirky personalities.
Harry Callis is pretty lovable, that big old lug.
Very likable, but always tired, Harry.
Yeah,
he always wants to take a nap. Sean is very serious. Jolie, also very serious, a man who would never say more than two words. This guy right here is downright gregarious. Look at him in there, Ron.
He's beaming. Huh? He's beaming.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Austin. Our pleasure.
Great to be here with you guys. We got Jason Mackey on the line.
I know we do. It's very exciting for everyone right now. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe.
Have you met Austin?
I have. And I was chatting some ball with Austin before I got on here.
Jason, you're doing some stuff with Westminster College. Why don't you tell people what you're doing?
Yeah, so they are sponsoring my segments on with you guys. I'm basically telling my story. It's, I guess, the world's easiest partnership where I just talk about how much that place means to me, which it does. I did before they sponsored my segments on here, but I certainly appreciate them doing it. And, as a lot of people know, I went to Westminster, was there from 2002 to 2006, played baseball, did that whole thing, and it means the world to me. I still love the place. We go up a bunch of times a year. It's a cool connection with people. That's basically it. I mean, I'm just sort of telling my story and how much they prepared me for the world, and I actually got to do things, and I think that's one of the unique advantages of being up there. You get a lot of real-world experience.
Jason's going to be on weekly with us. It's going to be, I believe, Thursdays at noon through August. And, of course, Westminster College, where real experiences lead to real success. All right. Here's something I'm very curious about. I want to see the Pirates get a jolt from somebody in the minors. I do. When they were getting good in 11, 12, 13, seemed like every month or so, every couple months, there was Polanco making his debut. There was Gerrit Cole. Here was a little Starling Marte. Here was this guy, that guy. Who's going to come up this year and give this team a jolt?
It's a good question, Joe, and they need somebody. I think it could be a couple people, honestly, and I think we need to get a little bit further. I haven't given up hope on Endy Rodriguez, but I don't know if now's the right time. He's hitting, I think, 234 in Indy. I think Henry Davis will be up here, and I think he could give them a jolt offensively. I don't know necessarily about defensively at this point, but those are two guys I look at. I think Leover Peguero could be up here. In pitching-wise, I do think Quinn Priester is going to be up here, and I don't know if it's going to be making starts to like keep them in contention in a playoff run, but I think it's going to be a situation where maybe in September he makes some starts and teases and people see what he can do. That's probably it at this point in terms of guys that are going to meaningfully impact the Major League club, but I think there's going to be other guys who are up here as well.
All right, they win two games in San Francisco. Everybody feels a little better about themselves, I'm sure. Now they come home. This series against St. Louis feels kind of big to me. You too?
I'm with you, Ron. I think the whole homestand is very, very big. I feel like they're kind of teetering on, you know, are they going to hold people's attention here? You know, the Penguins just made a move. We're not too terribly far off from Steelers, I suppose. You know, they're at 500. They're a half game out of first. Whatever. You can explain that away and say we just had a bad month. Well, you need to have a better third month here. If they go 2-7, I think a lot of people are going to abandon ship. If they go 7-2, I think a lot of people are going to, you know, jump on the bandwagon and think that this team actually has something. It's just one of those that can kind of go either way. And even if they go 4-5, 5-4, something like that, I think they'll sort of, keep bobbing along and maybe just inspire some hope. But if this goes poorly, I think a lot of people are going to just think, okay, you had one good month, we're done with you.
Especially when they got Oakland coming here next week. Now, I know they took 2 out of 3 from Atlanta, which I can't even believe. But what seems more likely, 7-2 or 2-7?
I think if I can pick door number 3, I think I'd go with 4-5, 5-4. If I've seen anything from this team, and you know this, Ron, I feel like they don't do anything that gives you a definitive answer. You know, that would make things easy for us, but I don't know. Maybe a 5-4. If it's 2-7 and they get swept by Oakland or something like that, I mean, I would be with fans at that point. Oakland is horrendous. I can't believe how bad that is, but I don't know. I guess I'm dodging around answering 2-7 or 7-2. I sort of want to say 7-2 just because it'll keep more eyes on what I do for a living, but I'm not ruling out 2-7 either.
What did you say to the first question? I momentarily blacked out and had a little issue with Austin here. If there's one guy to bring up, who's it going to be? And then I'll just give me a name and then I'll ask my question.
Endy Rodriguez.
So obviously they must view it like the forearm strain. And it's only been a month and a half of minor league ball that he's still their hot guy. Has he been playing well lately? Will they bring him in and catch him? Will they just bring him in for his bat? What would that look like?
He's not playing terribly well right now, Joe. And one of the things I said is I would not do it right this second. But if you ask me who's going to have the most impact on the major league club, like between now and the end of the regular season, I still think it's going to be Endy. I think he's going to figure it out and get hot. And I think what it would look like at the major league level is him coming up here and catching some and also bouncing around the field. That might be second base. That might be first. That might be in the outfield. Basically anywhere to get him reps. And I think they just want to wait for him to get some traction at the minor league level. We're going to get past Super 2 here in about 10 days to 2 weeks. And it might time out perfectly that if he can get something going, once they're definitively, feel better about being past the Super 2 date, that they can bring him up.
Well, I guess sometimes the best plans don't always happen, and maybe that's a good thing. They were going to send Contreras to the bullpen, correct? And then Velasquez gets hurt. So we see Contreras tonight. I thought he was going to be their best pitcher other than maybe Keller coming into this year. I'm glad he's back in the rotation. Should I feel that way?
Yeah, I am too, Ron. I'm with you. And, you know, obviously Mitch is a separate discussion and has been so darn good. But, and I understand what they were doing with Rowanzi. It's not terribly dissimilar from Mitch. It's more of trying to create a don't think so much, speed up your delivery, be a little bit more consistent, go right after people. And they weren't going to keep him in there long. Now, obviously, it's going to be just one appearance, and now he's right back in the rotation with Vince. And I do worry about their pitching depth. But with Rowanzi, I mean, it's so much fastball-based with him that if you see him lacking fastball command to this point, it just hasn't been very good, and he becomes a little bit too predictable. So they want him to be able to do that, to not, you know, nibble, to be able to control his fastball better. So I'll be really curious. He looked excellent out of the bullpen in Seattle. Him going tonight, we saw it work with Mitch, that it sort of changed his mindset. I guess it's a little different with Mitch in that he legitimately feared he was going to be out of a job. I don't think Rowanzi felt that way, but they certainly need him to get better. And I think if you look at the Pirates in ways that they can actually improve without spending money or making deals that we know they're probably not going to make, Rowanzi's one of the biggest ones for me.
Jason Mackey, you can read his stuff at postgazette.com. I wrote an outstanding column the other day, Jason. Only kidding. No, I took the side of they should draft the pitcher. They have the number one pick in the – it always strikes me in baseball. If this was football, if the Steelers had the number one pick, we would have started talking about it 364 days ago and never stopped. And the same with the Penguins. The Pirates have the number one pick in the whole country, and this year would appear there is two obvious dynamic talents at the top of that draft, the center fielder from LSU, the pitcher from LSU. When I see people like Keith Law writing, I have never seen a starting pitching prospect throw this hard, and the dude is 6'6", 247. I'm just so tempted by Paul Skenes, the pitcher, rather than the position player. How about you, and have you heard anything about where the Pirates are leaning?
Joe, that was an excellent column. Don't sell yourself short.
Thank you.
I read it, and I think it's a fascinating – it's a fascinating question they face where, you know, 2 years ago when they were 1-1, there were five guys that you could pick from. And now it's much easier. And they're two, like, legitimate 1-1 picks in Skenes and Dylan Cruz. No, I haven't heard about any which way they're leaning, and that's not surprising. They're still in the middle of learning about these guys, and those picks are almost never finalized this early. I know it doesn't seem early for people on the outside, but there's still more to learn about those guys. One factor, and I'm with you, Joe, by the way, I would draft Skenes. I love this kid. A discussion that I had with Carlos Collazo from Baseball America still rattles around in my head a lot, where he said, if you're the Pirates, like, you're probably not going to spend on premium pitching on the free agent market. You are getting premium pitching in the draft with this kid. Like, there's always going to be risk, but the upside is so great for something that the Pirates are not going to spend money to get. You could have a bona fide ace on your staff for a pretty significant period of time because he's basically ready now. Like, I love that, man. Bring him up now. Let's see what this kid can do. But, you know, it's a heck of a question. I wouldn't sleep on Dylan Cruz. Obviously, nobody is. I don't know if I've seen a mock draft that doesn't have him going 1-1. But for what the Pirates are, for what their needs are, for what this Skenes kid, I think, can be, I'm right with you on drafting him.
I am too. I like the pitcher, but I keep thinking of one thing. One pitch, it could all end with an arm injury when you throw it that hard. The human body isn't meant to throw like that. And then you have a center fielder, an outfielder who could be a regular for you for the next decade as well. I'm leaning to the pitcher too, but I certainly see the risk involved.
Yeah, no, and I think there's additional – There's two other things that I would point out with this in terms of, like, risk and what goes into the decision. One, Dylan Cruz is a Boris guy. And I think you have to look at that if you're the Pirates anytime. Like, you're signing this guy and he's probably not going to sign a second contract with you based on what Scott Boris generally wants from his guys and how the Pirates do business. I'm not saying Skenes will, but that's always a bit of a concern for me. And then the other thing is, yes, the three of us might agree to take Skenes. What if Dylan Cruz becomes this generational outfielder and Paul Skenes, through no fault of his own, like you said, Ron, one pitch, something goes wrong, then we've got either Brian Bullington situation on our hands or something worse where they've passed on some sort of, you know, Bryce Harper level talent, and then they're just going to get crushed. But again, if I'm still looking at it, man, I don't know if I can pass up a pitcher who looks this dominant. I really can't.
I was not aware Boris was his agent, Joe.
Yeah, that's
that makes it even more. That makes it even a little easier for me to take the pitcher.
Yeah.
Yes,
Jason, if you're going to be a regular on this show, you're going to have to play free association. The rules of the game are short questions, short answers. I would prefer you didn't even go above five words. If you have to do one word, that's fine as well. There's no elaborating unless Ron jumps in and wants you to elaborate. You ready?
Deal.
Okay. Brian Reynolds has been a mild disappointment on that new contract so far. Yes or no?
No.
Carlos Santana.
Wait a minute. I want some elaboration.
right away. Right away we jump in.
What has he hit? Two home runs since opening day here. You know, I'm not saying he's a monumental disappointment, but to me, he's a little bit disappointing.
Mild was the word.
Yeah. To me, mild, Jason. Why do you say no?
All right. I look at, like, his slug extra base hits are all still within range for the top major league outfielders. But if you want to say mild disappointment, Ron, I can go down with that. I just can't say, like, it's been a huge disappointment. Okay. Maybe I overreacted. I'll agree with mild.
Thank you, Jason. Andrew McCutchen will be back next season with the Pirates.
Yes, he will.
Jack Sawinski and Rodolfo Castro will both be switch hitters for their entire careers.
No, one of them's going, and I think it's Castro.
Did that make it in five words, Ron?
No.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Close.
It was Castro six. That's okay. That was a good answer. You think Castro will be a switch hitter and Sawinski won't?
I think Sawinski will. This is going to be more than the five words. I think Jack will keep switch hitting. I think Rudy Castro will only hit right against it.
Very interesting. O'Neill Cruz will be back when?
Second week of August.
Luis Ortiz will make how many more starts for the Pirates this season?
12.
12. And he'll stay in the rotation for now?
They might bump into the bullpen to monitor his innings because they tend to do that with young guys.
Carlos Santana will be with the Pirates for the whole season?
Yes.
Rich Hill will be with the Pirates for the whole season?
No.
Thank you, Jason.
I have one. I have one. What is, I believe Keller is on pace for like 20 wins. Is he going to knock on that door?
I don't think he's going to. I think a late season fallout is going to ruin his chances, but I think he's close.
Drew Maggi will return this season, and clearly the curse of the Maggi is the problem here. Will he get another at-bat with the Pirates this season?
I think he will. I actually do, Joe. I think we see Maggi again. They love him.
Chris Owings will actually put a bunt on the ground instead of the air, which is what he's done twice, resulting in three total outs.
He will, but it's going to come in Indianapolis.
Yeah, why is he still on the major league roster?
You got me, Ron. You got me. It wouldn't shock me that if we find out in an hour he's gone, or in a couple of hours, then they swapped him out. I mean, they like his ability to defend at shortstop, but that was pre-Tuca Pietramarcano. They don't need him. It's an extraneous spot. I don't know why he's here either.
Andrew McCutchen will play two more years for the Pirates.
No, I think it's one and done next year. Well, not one and done, but I think he's going to play next year, and I think that's
it. See, now you're just wildly breaking the rules, Jason.
How am I supposed to answer that?
Yes or no?
Okay, if he's going to play two more years, then fine. No, no.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Have a good afternoon.
See you at the ballpark.
That's Jason Mackey. Ron, I thought that went well. You?
He did kind of violate the rules towards the end.
I know,
there.
But it was his first time, which I'm certainly willing to give him the benefit
of the doubt. Only Michael McHenry did it perfectly.
He did it perfectly on the first try.
On the first try.
And we're all in agreement then that the pitcher is the guy we want, yes?
I did not realize Boris was the other guy's agent.
Yeah, that's a little depressing. That was Jason Mackey, Westminster College. Where real experiences lead to real success. That's who brought you Jason. He'll be with us each Thursday, every Thursday at noon. Coming up, before we get to Bob Walk, let's quickly talk about the Pirates and this weekend. And does this sort of register big on the believability meter? Is what Jason said true, like they stink in this 9-game homestand, then we just wave bye-bye? And Steeler camp comes along next month. Let's talk about that coming up on Cook and Joe.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates and Cardinals tonight, 7:05 first pitch. First game of a three-game set at PNC Park. Rowanzi Contreras on the mound, opposite of Jack Flaherty. Also in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets have a 1-0 series lead after defeating the Miami Heat last night. The Pirates, one game over 500 against St. Louis. And headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Feels like an important homestand here. It really does for the visibility, the viability of the Pirates. Listen, they could go 3-6, and if the Brewers stink, they'll still be in it. So I don't want to overdo it here, but I mentioned, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that their TV ratings, the local TV ratings for the Pirates have nearly doubled since last year. They're top five in Major League Baseball, and that their attendance is up nearly 40%. So however they got here, maybe the pace of games helps, things like that. And yeah, they're still bottom five in Major League Baseball in attendance, but clearly the arrow's up. That's a predictive number that in the heat of summer, if this team were to get hot again, for example, and take over first place, if they had a great homestand against one horrible team, two mediocre teams, Ron, it just seems like opportunity knocks for a city that desperately wants to watch the Pirates and wants to keep watching the Pirates. This is a great opportunity.
Against the St. Louis team that they haven't finished ahead of since 1999, and then the dreadful Oakland Athletics come into town.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a good opportunity. You know, one thing I don't like about it, I didn't even realize this. It's now June, so they're switching the games back to 7:05
yeah.
from 6:35.
I just noticed that myself.
I don't like that, but
I know.
But you know, a lot of people may. I get that. If you are thinking of going tonight or next week, they're 7:05 instead of 6:35. But they are. They strike me as being, fighting for relevancy. Training camp is right around the corner. I think we beg every year for them to be relevant at least until training camp. I'm not sure they're going to make it.
Is the Sunday game at 11:35 a.m.?
It is. That's at Peacock streaming game. They do one a year. It is indeed at 11:35. Now, I love that. I wish they'd play at 8 in the morning myself. It is definitely 11:35.
Holy
bird. One a year they do that.
Holy bird milk. Have the Pirates ever had a game that early?
They did last year. That's what I said. It's this whole
at 11:30.
At 11:35, it's a Peacock streaming game.
Do you have Peacock?
I don't know. I don't think. I wouldn't know how to find it if I did. But I will be there. I was gonna go tonight.
It can be hard to find Peacock. I can't find it either.
I was gonna go tonight, but the 7:05 threw me off a little bit. I will definitely be there. 4:05 tomorrow. 11:35 Sunday.
Let's take next Wednesday off, Ron, and go to the Pirate game together. Pirates and the A's.
Oakland.
Don't
A's.
You wish the lumber company had played the legendary A's? Wouldn't that have been a great series?
That would
series
have been a great series
70s?
With the Bash Brothers.
They were right there. I think that was the Bob Moose wild pitch one year. They would have played Oakland in the World Series. What a series that would
the
have been.
The Bash Brothers.
Oh, right. My God, would that have been great.
Sure would.
Those Oakland teams were legendary, were they not?
They were.
There's been documentaries
Charlie
on them,
Finney
speaking
and
of documentaries.
Charlie Finley, the owner, and unfortunately one of the stars just died, a couple weeks ago? Vida Blue.
You go ahead and name a legendary Oakland A from that era, Ron, and I'll match you till we run out. Vida Blue, you just named
one.
Bert Campanaris.
Jim Catfish Hunter.
Joe Rudy.
Oh, man. Now, did McGuire come later? McGuire and Canseco. I'm calling
way
them
later,
the Bash
way
Brothers.
Later. Yeah, we're in the early 70s
yeah,
here,
they,
Ron.
They were way later on that. Campanaris, Bert Campanaris?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I just say that or didn't I? Oh, my God, we both lost
Joe
our
Rudy.
Minds.
I thought you said Joe Rudy.
No, you just said Joe Rudy.
No, I didn't say Joe Rudy.
I didn't say Joe Rudy. I said Bert Campanaris,
okay,
but now you said Rudy.
I thought you said Joe Rudy.
Gene Tennis.
Oh, man.
I got you on that one, Bite didn't I?
Blue, Catfish Hunter. Who else was it? Pat something or other, a pitcher.
Pat.
I thought it was Pat.
About Raleigh Fingers.
Oh, yeah, with the mustache. That's right.
I'm starting to run out.
I am, too.
How about
Sal Bando?
He's not listening.
You didn't say that, did you?
The new guy's not listening to the show,
he's
which is
sleeping.
Unbelievable.
I'm listening.
Who said Bert Campanaris, Austin?
Ron said it.
He just woke up.
Sal Bando.
Did you see him sit up? Sal Bando. Okay, Blue Moon Odom.
Yeah,
I got another one. Wait, is he, was done. He on those teams? Ken Holtzman?
I was thinking Pat, but it might be Ken Holtzman I'm thinking of.
Herb Washington, the pinch runner extraordinaire who later came to the Pirates.
I got one.
Am I wrong about that one?
I got one.
Who?
I think my memory serves, and I am Sino. Chuck Tanner. Yep.
Well, but the manager, was he? The manager was Dick Williams.
Yeah. But Tanner was there, too, with Herb Washington, I believe.
I got some for you, Ron. Now I'm looking. Oh, my God. We forgot the most famous one on the whole team.
Reggie Jackson?
Yes.
That just when you said
Ray
that.
Fossey. He has 73 A's. Ray Fossey, Gene Tennis, Dick Green, Campy, Bando, Rudy, Bill North. Remember him in center field?
I do.
The true North. Reggie Jackson. And then the staff was Ken Holtzman, Vida Blue, Catfish Hunter, Blue Moon Odom, and Dave Hamilton was the other guy.
I wouldn't remember Dave Hamilton.
And one of the guys out of the
and
bullpen.
Raleigh Fingers was the closer.
Yeah, and him and Paul Lindblad.
When was
remember
Chuck,
Paul
when
Lindblad?
Was Chuck, there.
After, as the manager?
Yeah, after
later.
That. After that.
In the late 70s. He sort of, you know, the aftermath.
Not in the late 70s.
Well, mid-70s.
Yeah, because he won the World Series here in 79.
He was only there 1 year,
yeah.
76. And then the
and
Pirates
traded for him for Sanghi.
That's right?
Right. Yep.
That's exactly right. I bet you didn't know all that, Austin.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.